No, no, we're not taking a nap right now. It's time to go. Come on, get up.
Come on, man, I'm so tired.
No, no, they're excited to see. Are you guys excited to see him? Yeah. You hear that?
Is that for me?
Yes, that's for you.
Oh, I'm not sure I look good enough. Let me get my hair done.
All right, come on, you look good enough. All right, come on. You ready? Everybody, I want to give a big round of applause for Fritz, the Green Monster.
Yo, what's up? How you doing? What's up, y'all? Hey, there's some good-looking ladies here. So how you doing? How's you? There's some good-looking girls here.
Yes, okay, that's nice, but we're not here to check out the girls, okay?
Dog, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm always checking out the girls.
All right, come on, Fritz. Come on, we're not here to just hang out with the girls, okay?
Come on, dog. Ooh, what's your name, sweetheart?
Fritz, come on, Fritz.
Yeah, dog.
Fritz, I need you to focus.
All right, dog. I'll focus. Ooh! Ooh! I can tell she wants me! Look at that, she's already hitting on me! Yeah! Woo! Hey, girl.
Fritz.
Yeah, no. Oh, too quick for you. Uh-huh. I'm playing hard to get. Uh-huh.
Fritz.
Yeah, dog.
I need you to focus.
Oh, I'm focusing all right.
Fritz.
Yeah, dog.
I think you might be embarrassing her.
Oh, that's just because she's so embarrassed because I love her so much.
Fritz, come on. All right, come on. Come on back.
It's all right. Hey, wait, give me just 1 second.
All right, 1 second.
Hey, girl, I got something for you. That's yours. Repeat that. It's all for you. All right,
Fritz, stop.
Hey, girl, can I get your digits?
Fritz, stop. All right, that's enough of that. Everybody brought us here. They had a great man. Look at all these decorations they did for us here. This is awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, dog, it looks good. Not as good as me, but you know, not everybody can deal with so much handsomeness. That's me.
Oh, yeah, okay. Now, this is our week out at space camp.
Yeah.
Yep, and we got all the stars and everything. It's looking pretty cool.
Yeah, dog.
I was thinking about this. What would it be like to be on a real spaceship?
Oh, dog, that'd be awesome.
Why would you want to be on a spaceship?
I'd get all the girls.
What?
Oh, dog, if I was an astronaut, I'd be like, hey, girl, you from Mars, because you is out of this world. Uh-huh, yeah.
Oh, come on, Fritz, really?
Oh, I know. I'd be like, hey, are you the sun? Because my world revolves around you.
Fritz. Come on, no.
They don't want me then.
No, Fritz, not everything is about girls.
Are you sure?
I'm absolutely positive.
I'm not so sure about that, just now.
You know, Fritz, I remember, I, as I'm thinking about space, I remember when I went to Cape Canaveral.
What's that, dog?
That's where they you know, shoot off the rockets and everything and go into space.
Say what, dog?
Yeah, they go into space, that's where the astronauts go, and...
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about Cape Canaveral. They had spaceships there and it...
Dog, what's wrong with you?
There's nothing wrong with me.
Are you all right in the head?
Yes, I'm just fine.
Oh, man, this is going to be bad.
What's going to be bad?
Nobody's ever told you.
Nobody's ever told me what?
Oh, man, dog, I am so sorry.
What are you sorry for?
That I got to do this in front of all these people.
What are you talking about?
Now, don't cry.
Why would I cry?
Just don't cry, all right? Promise you're not going to cry.
I promise I'm not going to cry.
All right, dog. Listen closely.
I'm listening.
Spaceships ain't real, dog.
What?
That's not real.
No, Fritz, no. What are you talking about?
Spaceships and aliens and all that stuff, it ain't real. It's just make-believe.
No, okay, all right. I see what you're saying. You're right. There are some things that are make-believe and they pretend and things, but spaceships do exist.
Oh, dog, this is going to be bad.
What are you? What is wrong?
Spaceships ain't real. You got to understand, they're not real. They're make-believe. They're part of your imagination.
No, they're not part of your imagination. Men have really gone to space. They've even walked on the moon.
Oh, dog.
What?
You're embarrassing yourself.
I'm not embarrassing myself. They have walked on the moon.
And you've seen aliens too, huh?
No, I have not seen aliens.
See, it's all part of your imagination. That's all it is, dog. That's it.
No, it's not imagination.
Dog, don't cry.
I'm not going to cry.
Seriously, don't cry. It'd be embarrassing. I don't want you to cry, right?
I'm not going to cry. It's not make-believe.
Dog, it is not real. What you see on TV is not real. It's imagination. That's all it is, dog.
No, Fritz. Spaceships are real.
No, dog. I am so sorry. I'm sorry. Don't cry now. Don't cry.
I'm not going to cry. All right. How about you think through this with me, okay?
All right, dog. I'm ready. I'm ready to think.
Okay. You're ready to think?
I'm thinking.
What are you thinking about?
Girls.
No. Stop. All right, Fritz, have you ever gone outside?
What kind of question is that, dog? Yes, I've gone outside.
All right, have you gone outside when it's dark out?
What do you think, I stay in the house? Yes, I've gone outside when it's dark out.
Have you ever looked up in the sky when it's dark out and seen things in the sky?
Oh, yeah, dog. Yeah.
They're like twinkling little lights?
Yeah.
What do you think those things are?
Fireflies.
No. Okay, yes. Okay, there are some fireflies. How about the ones that are up in the sky and they just stay still?
They're lazy fireflies. That's what they are.
No, they're not lazy.
It's nighttime, dog. They're sleeping. They're like up there just, you know, they're sleeping. And they glow. Fireflies.
Okay, no. All right. How about the moon? What do you think the moon is?
A nightlight. That's what it is, dog. I'm sorry, don't cry about it. It's okay.
No, it's not a night. What is the sun?
Light bulb. That's all it is, just a big light bulb.
All right. So you don't think that space is real?
No, dog, it ain't. I never seen it. Ain't real.
Well, I know you haven't seen it, but that doesn't make it not real.
It ain't real, dog. I'm sorry.
All right, well, I have seen spaceships.
That's because you're crazy.
No, I'm not crazy. All right, how about this? I will take you to some place like Cape Canaveral.
Oh, are there pretty girls there?
No, there's not pretty girls there. I'm taking you. Would you like to see a real spaceship?
Yeah, dog, that'd be awesome!
So how about you go with me, and we'll go look at a real spaceship?
No, dog, I don't want to go.
Why not?
Because they ain't real, dog.
No, okay. They are real. You would just have to go to where the spaceships are.
Dog, I don't believe it. I had a bad experience.
What do you mean you had a bad experience?
When I was just a little boy, a handsome little boy, I was sitting outside, and I was like, I want to see a spaceship. So I prayed, and I said, Lord, let there be a spaceship in front of me. And there was nothing there. They ain't real.
What? Wait a minute. So you sat outside.
Uh-huh, that's what I said. Weren't you listening?
Yes, I was listening. And you wanted to see a spaceship.
Uh-huh.
So you prayed, let me see a spaceship.
Uh-huh.
But then you just sat there.
Uh-huh. What's wrong with that?
No, if you want to see a spaceship, you're going to have to go where spaceships are.
But they don't exist.
No, okay, Fritz. They do exist. You would just have to go to a place like Cape Canaveral.
Why?
Because there's spaceships there.
Don't cry, dog. Don't cry. It's okay.
I'm not going to cry. All right, Fritz, we're going to have to talk about this later.
All right, dog.
All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and put you away now.
Wait.
What?
Can I get your number now?
No, stop, Fritz. All right. Everybody say goodbye to Fritz. Man, he's got issues. That's all there is to it. Can you guys go in and get Psalm chapter number 25 up on the screen for me? Get your Bibles out, turn to Psalm 25. Going to get the help of some of you that have been out in camps before. You're going to recognize this song, Psalm 25, and we start off in verse number 1. Those of you that know it can sing along. Those of you that are just going to learn it with us. I've got some challenging scripture songs we're going to learn. One tomorrow that I'm hoping to teach that I am just learning myself. So we're going to learn that one together. So we're going to start off with one that some of us know. Psalm 25, starting in verse 4. We go verse 1. The chorus is verse 2. Then we go to verse 3, back to 2, 4, and then back to 2 again. All right, you got the tune for me there, Miss Joy? All right, see if we can do this one together. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my... I'm going to pause right there because I know I'm already off key, aren't I? No, I'm not. Wow, that's deeper than I remember it. That's deeper. All right, we're going to try this again. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. All right, let's go to the next verse. Let none that on thee be ashamed, yea, let none that way on thee be ashamed. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not mine enemies triumph over me. Show me thy ways, thy ways, O Lord. Thy paths, O Lord, O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not mine enemies triumph over me. This is what we're going to be talking about tonight, is show me thy ways. Let's sing that one more time. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Thy paths, O Lord, O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not mine enemies triumph over me. Let me have everybody's heads bowed, everybody's eyes closed. Let's have a word of prayer before we get into the Word of God here tonight. Lord, I love you. I thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to preach your Word. Lord, I ask that you would give me the enthusiasm, the excitement. Give me the clarity of thought. Help me to love these children the way that I should. We love you, Lord, and I thank you for all you've done for us. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, it's been a while. Who can remember my three rules? Who can remember what's number one? I got some people here that know what they are. You remember what rule number one is? No, you ain't got it. It's been 9 months. Come on, you can't have forgotten this quick. All right, what you got? What's rule number one? Oh, that's a good one. That's Brother Parsons' rule number one. I'm looking for mine while I'm preaching. There's three things I'm looking for. Ashlyn, sitting up straight is the first thing you must be doing. So let's get your back against the back of the chair you're sitting in. That means not your shoulders, your back against the back of the chair you're sitting in. So we're sitting up good and straight. Number two is? Yep. Oh, you had it right there. Hands in your lap. And then the third thing I'm looking for every young person is? No talking. You guys got it. That's how you sit still in church and pay attention to the preaching. I was goofing off with Fritz a little bit, having a little bit of fun with him. The truth is that there's some things that if you are going to see them, you have to go to the place where that is. How many of you have ever been to the Grand Canyon? Has anybody ever been there? A couple of you? Awesome. How many of you have ever been to Niagara Falls? Anybody ever done that one? Awesome. Those are things that if you want to see them, you have to go where they are. Tonight, I want to go to a place, I want to take you to a place that you cannot get to unless you go where it is. You cannot get there any other way but showing up right where you need to be. That is God's will. Now, I want to kind of share something. I'm going to be a little silly with this. Is that okay with you guys for a minute? I have been in church my entire life, and I'm going to kind of illustrate something that would happen to me when I would go to Sunday school or to a preaching service. There'd be this sweet old man or this sweet old lady that would be teaching the class, and they'd come to me and they'd look at my class and they'd be like, oh, you sweet little children, don't you just little sweethearts, you're so cute.
I tell you something? Are you listening to me real close now, all right? You listening real close? I won't tell you something important.
Now, I'd be sitting there, and because I knew that that person loved me, I'd be sitting there, and I'd be like, all right, tell me. I'm listening, teacher, I'm listening. Okay, that's not really how I would act, but I'm just being silly with it. They'd come up, and they'd be like,
I won't tell you now. You are so special. You're the specialest little child I ever known, so you're so special. And all I gotta tell you, God loves you. Oh, he loves you lots and lots.
Now, how many of you ever had a teacher that tells you how much God loves you? Ever had that before? Now, that's true. God loves you. You know you've heard that.
And they'd be like, oh, and God doesn't just love you. He's got a special plan for you. And you, and especially you.
And they would tell you that God has a perfect plan for you. How many of you ever heard that before? God's got a perfect plan for you. I heard that. I'd sit there, I'd be like, oh, goody, for me. I got a plan for me. This is exciting. It's me. Not you, because you stink. It's me. Oh, I'll get so excited about it. And then I would ask a question. I'm like, teacher, I got a question. Have you ever tried to get the teacher's attention by raising your hand higher than everybody else? Does it ever work?
No.
Why do we do it? It never works. I don't understand. And then we start like singing opera. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Or, you know, me. Oh, we're crazy. And then we give up because we really want to, and we just start sounding like monkeys. I don't know why we do it, but I did it too. And I want, oh, teacher, please. Oh, they'd call on me, my all-important question. What is it? What's God's purpose? I want to know, what is it, teacher?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. You might be a preacher. You might be a missionary. You might dig ditches. You might work up, but I don't know. Now have a good day, sweetie.
I'm like, that's great. God has a perfect plan for me. And I have no idea what it is. Not a clue. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Not a clue. Have you ever wondered that question? You ever sat there and you've heard somebody say, God has a perfect plan for you, and you're like, that's awesome, and it's true. God does love you. He has a perfect plan for you. And you're like, what is it? And you know what I have to tell you? I don't know. And it's like, really? All that? And you don't have a clue? I want to tell you a story today out of the Bible. I want you to turn to Genesis with me, if you would. Genesis, and we're going to read this story out of chapter number 24. Genesis and chapter number 24. You see, if you were wanting to be an astronaut, if you said, I want to go to space, then you would kind of know what you have to do. You don't go to space unless you first get involved in NASA. That's where the spaceships get sent. That's where the astronauts are trained. So if you were going to be an astronaut, you would kind of know what you are supposed to do. You'd kind of know where you're supposed to go. But God's will for your life, how do you find that? How do you know what you're supposed to do? How do you find out what it is God wants from you? I believe wholeheartedly that in this room, I'm not just looking at boys and girls that are random boys and girls. I believe that there's a good number of you young ladies that you come to a camp like this because you want God to be pleased with your life. You want to do what is right. You have a desire, young men. There's some of you young men in here that have a desire that God would be pleased with your life. You hear, God has a plan for me. Oh, goody. What is it? I don't know. It's kind of depressing. Nobody knows. Nobody knows the plan that God has. Nobody knows my sorrows. It can be kind of depressing. The story we're going to read out of Genesis chapter 24 is a unique story. It's a very interesting story that I was reading through, and I caught a statement that a man made in this story. Now, it starts off in Genesis 24 and verse number 1. You'll see a man by the name of Abraham. How many can see Abraham's name there in verse number 1? What does it say about Abraham? Raise your hand. What was unique about Abraham in verse number 1? What is happening? What's going on in Abraham's life? What do you read there? He's old. Abraham is old. Now, you guys know what old means, right? All right, I want you to get your imagination going with me. Can you do that? Can you picture Abraham, an old, old man? And he's sitting there. And picture Abraham in his setting. Abraham didn't live in a mansion. Abraham probably didn't even live in a house. Who can raise your hand and tell me where you think Abraham probably lived or what Abraham probably lived in? What do you think Abraham lived in? A one-story house? Probably not. In that Bible time, they normally didn't live in houses because they lived a different lifestyle than we did. What do you think? A tent. They were nomads. They would move with their cattle from place to place. And so if the grass and everything around them started to die or there wasn't enough for the cattle to eat, they would pick up all their tents and move to a place that they could feed their cattle. They could take care of their sheep. So he probably is in a tent. Now, I'm sure it's a very nice tent. It's not like one of the tents that you would go out camping in where you have to like crawl on your hands and knees just to get into the tent. It's probably a large tent. But he's sitting there, an old man, and he's trying to make a decision. So he's probably sitting there stroking his big, long, white beard. Can you picture it in your mind? Just sitting there. He's got a very important decision to make. See, Abraham has a son. His problem is his son is not married. His son's not married, and thus his son's not going to have any kids. Thus he's not going to have any grandkids, and thus he has nobody to give all his stuff to. And he's going, what am I going to do here? I'm getting close to dying. I'm getting close to passing away. I need to do something. All right, what does he need to do? What do you think? What does he need to do? Get his son married. That's what he needs to do. My son has got to get married. And so he starts thinking about where he lives. And he starts thinking about all the young ladies around where they're at. And you know what he realizes? None of them serve God. None of them want anything to do with my God. None of them are good. None of them are trying to do what is right. I have got to find a wife for my son. So you think through with me, with Abraham sitting there in his tent. I've got to find a wife for my son. I can't get him to marry one of these girls around here. So what do you think he should do? Anybody got an idea? What should he do? What do you think? Oh, that's a good idea. You know, when I was younger, Abraham's thinking, I moved out of the place where God sent me from, but there's some good people back there. I think I need to get my son a girl from way back home. That's a long trip. But he's got a problem. What did that first verse say about Abraham? He was old. He's going, I can't make a trip like that. I can't do that anymore. I'm not young enough. And I can't send my son away, because he's the one taking care of all the stuff. If I send him away, nobody's going to be taking care of the animals. I've got to come up with something. So here's what Abraham does. Abraham calls his most trusted servants. This servant that was basically in charge of all his house. He calls him in and sits him down. You got this picture in your mind? Abraham sitting on this side. His servant sitting on this side. And Abraham says to his servant, I have a very important job for you. Yes, sir. How can I help? How can I serve? Now, you've got to promise me that you will make sure this job is taken care of. You won't quit in the middle of it. You won't give up because it's too hard. You have got to swear to me that you will take care of this job. Sounds pretty serious, sir. What is it you need me to do? Here's what I need you to do. I need you to travel all the way back to my home country, and I need you to pick a girl for my son to marry.
Huh? I got, what?
It's pretty simple. You go way out of there, you pick a girl, and then you have her come back and marry my son. Now, I want you to think about this servant here. I'm just using my imagination for a little bit. Now, girls, he's picturing himself showing up in this strange country, finding some girl and saying, hey, you want to come with me and marry this guy you've never met? What's she going to say?
No.
Well, she's not going to say no. She's going to say, get lost, you weirdo. That's what he's going to say. And then he's going to go, okay, hey, girl that I've never met before, you want to go with me and marry this guy you've never met? No. And then they're going to start talking with their friends and say, stay away from the weird guy. He's trying to find somebody to kidnap and take back. Stay away. He's a creep. This is what's going through this guy's mind. Now, I'm gonna go pick a girl. Okay. Then he gets his idea. It's like, I know. I'm going to be able to find this girl. And then she's going to say, well, I got to meet him. I ain't marrying somebody I ain't never met before. So he's going to say, okay, I got an idea. And so he asks Abraham, Abraham, let's just say that she wants to meet your son. Can I come pick him up and bring him back, introduce him? You know, they get all in love and they, yeah, all that stuff. And then we bring him back. Does that sound okay? No! Can't do that. It's simple. Just leave, pick a girl, bring her back. You got promise to do this. Okay. And he leaves. Now this reminds me of what it's like trying to find God's will. You kind of know what you're supposed to do, but you don't know exactly what you're supposed to do. And so he's standing there, this servant saying, I'm supposed to do what is right. I'm supposed to find a girl. What girl? I don't know. What's she look like? I don't know. When are you going to find her? I don't know. He just told me to go that way. So I'm going that way. That's what he does. Can you imagine trying to explain that to somebody that that's what your job is? You're just going to pick a girl. Now, he's thinking as he's traveling, because this is a long journey. He's taking all entourage of animals and camels, all these things going down there. And while he's riding, he's going, now, if I was going to get a girl for me, I want her to be real purdy. I want a purdy girl. I don't want her just be purdy. I want her to cook real good because I like food. And I like it to taste good, too. So she's got to be purdy. And she's got to cook real good. And she got to be sweet. She got to be the sweetest little thing I ever done see. And she got to kiss real good. But he's not picking a wife for him, is he? No. How in the world? Now, guys, I want you to think about this. What if somebody said, hey, I'm going to go find you a girl. I'm going to come back and you got to marry her no matter what. Would you be okay with that? Like, I don't know who you're going to pick. I don't know if she knows how to cook. I don't know anything about her. You might pick out some weirdo. I don't want to marry no weirdo. Don't make me marry no weirdo. This is not a normal thing to ask somebody. This is not an easy thing for this guy to do. So what does he do? He runs away. You think that's what he does? No. He doesn't run away from the job because it's too hard. He goes down and he gets into the land that he's supposed to be in. all that he knows. The only job he has been given to do is go to the land and pick a wife. So you know what he did? He went to the land. He gets there. It's been a long journey. He's tired. He's been traveling in the desert. He's thirsty. His animals are thirsty. Everybody is thirsty. And so he says, God, I need your help. I don't know what to do next. I don't know what to do. I did what I was supposed to do. I'm here. I don't know what to do next. And so he asked for something kind of silly. And he says, God, could you just let the first girl that I meet that I ask for a drink of water from, could you just let her be the one that I'm supposed to take home with me? Now, that'd just be crazy. So he sits there and waits. Now, at a certain time of the day, all the ladies would come out because this is in the desert. This is not during our time. They didn't have a water faucet to go to and turn the water on. So they would all come out and they would get their pots of water and they would fill them up at the well and take them home and use that water for the washing of dishes, the cleaning, something to drink, all that stuff they'd have to carry themselves. So the time of the day comes out where all these ladies come out and he goes to one of the girls. Now, once again, use your imagination. Here's this man that's been traveling for a good long time. Do you think he was real clean, well showered? Probably filthy. Probably stank pretty bad. He's been riding camels for a good long time. And he runs up to her and asks her for a drink. The Bible specifically says that he ran to her. So here she is carrying her pot of water, and he's like running up to her. Hey, lady! Hey, lady! Lady! Yeah? I'm thirsty. Okay. Can I have a drink? You know what she does? She takes that down, and she gives him a drink. And then as he's getting a drink, she looks around at all the people that came with him, and she says, wow, you've been on a long journey. How about I give a drink to all your camels, all your animals? I'll give them a drink as well. And he just sits there in amazement, eyeballs about this big. You do that? She's like, sure. And he's sitting there, he kind of watches her as she's filling up the troughs of water for the camels. And he's sitting there and he goes, how did that happen? Well, what's going on here? What's happening? And she fills up all the troughs of water and gives something to drink to all the camels. I don't know how many times she had to dip that bucket down into the well over and over again. You know camels can drink a lot of water, right? He's watching her work. And then after she finishes up, he goes up to her and he says, I got another strange question for you. She's like, okay. He's like, can I stay at your house? If it wasn't weird before, it just got really weird. Okay, I gave you a drink of water. I gave your camels all a drink. Now you want to stay at my house? Weirdo alert. You know what she says? She says, there's plenty at my house. There's plenty. Why don't you come? I want you to look with me at verse number 27. Genesis 24 and verse number 27. This is the servant that all this story I just told you, all this has just happened in verse 27. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. You know what he said? He said, God has blessed me because I, being in the way, I was in the way. Have you ever had anybody yell at you because you were in their way? All the time? I'm not a good cook. I don't work in the kitchen well. I burn things in the kitchen. Most of the time when I'm in the kitchen, nobody in my household wants to eat what I have made in the kitchen. It just does not turn out well. But my children love to be in the kitchen. And when my beautiful bride is cooking in the kitchen, they love to be right there. I need somebody that's going to help me illustrate this real quick. Let's see here. I'm going to get somebody. Come on up, Noah. My wife, my beautiful bride, will be working in the kitchen. You guys have probably seen your mom or your dad doing that, to where they're just working in the kitchen. You want to get there and you want to help. And so what you do is you get real close. You get like right here. And so mom's cooking and she goes to get something. Excuse me. And you go over here. What do? You just stand there? No, you follow, right? You get real close. You're just kind of, you're trying to watch. You're trying to learn, right? And so mom chops up the onions or whatever, goes to put them in the pot. And then go over, dump them in the pot, go back to get something else. You just keep getting in the way, right? You see, here's what happened. This servant knew that God had a plan for him. He knew he was supposed to go get a wife for his master's son. He didn't know where she was. He didn't know what she looked like. He didn't know. He had more questions than answers. So you know what he did? He got in the way. He found out what he was supposed to do, and he got right there. He got in the way. So when God got ready to do something, you know what happened? God turned around and guess who was right there? The servant was right there. Noah, you can go have a seat. Everybody give him a good hand. The servant desired to do what was right. He wanted God to please him. He wanted God to be pleased with his life. So you know what he did? He got in the way. He made sure that he was right where God wanted him to be. You know what that was for a servant? To obey his master. Well, who are you going to find? How are you going to do it? How are you going to convince some unknown lady to go back home? How are you going to do that? What are you going to say? I don't know. Young lady, what are you going to be when you grow up? What does God want you to do? I don't know. Young man, what is it that God's trying to create in you? What does he want you to be? I don't know. You know what you need to do? Get in the way. Get right where you know you are supposed to be. Right where you know that God can bless me right here because I am in the way. It's a very simple message for you boys and girls tonight. I have one question for you. Girls, guys, do you want to be in the way? Do you want to live a life where God can use you? Do you desire to be like that servant and say, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know what God is going to do with me, but I want to be in the way. If that's you, this week, we're going to talk about what it takes to be in the way. What it takes to be what God has for you. To make sure that when God says, it's time, I'm ready to use you, my perfect plan is ready, and you're ready to go because you've been in the way. My question for you is this week, I'm going to do everything that I can to help you see through the scriptures the way. My question is, will you walk in it? Let me have everybody's heads bowed and everybody's eyes closed. God has a plan for you. I don't know what it is. For you to find out what it is, the only way to get to it is to get in the way. Do you want to be in the way? Do you want God to be pleased with your life? Do you want to know what God's plan is for your life? I can tell you about how to get in the way. It's up to you if you are going to do it or not. It's up to you to make the decision. God, I want to be in the way. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The piano's going to play, and I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet as soon as the piano plays. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Everybody stand. Here's the invitation for tonight. Young men, young ladies, to come forward and say, God, I want to be in the way. God, would you show me this week how to get in your way, how to get in the way that you have for me? You can come as the piano plays and we sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Is there a young man, a young lady that would say, I want to do what's right? God, would you help me to get in the way? Help me to be like that servant. I want to see you do something amazing with me. I don't know what it is, but I want to be in the way. Do you desire to be in the way? We'll sing the next verse, though none go with me. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No. I have decided. I have decided. I thank you for these young men and these young ladies, Lord, that have said that they want to do what is right. They want to get in the way. Lord, as we talk this week about how to get in the way, how to be right where God wants us to be, how to know what God's will is for our lives, I ask, Lord, that you would just give us the hearts of these young people so that they would begin walking in the way. So that when you're ready for them, Lord, when their time comes, they are in the way, ready to go. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this time and your word. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. That was a good message for us tonight. Being in the way. If you made a decision tonight, listen, if you want to make that public, we want you to go to one of your counselors and get them to help you fill out a decision card tonight. But